Welcome to the Backpack Show, where boy, are we lucky we have friends. Oh my golly. Our only guest today quit, death in the family. So sorry. I hope that is all, you know, everything goes okay. And at the last minute, I shook down my pal, Greg Nareen, Gregarious, and Carrie reached out to Janice Person, who just gave us a terrible scare.
Shook her down. Get her to come on.
Begged her to come on the show. So throw those information out the window of who you thought the guests were, because we don't even know anymore.
You know, there's friends, and then there's friends that will jump on camera with you.
Real friends.
8:40 a.m. their time.
Jump onto a camera. It's even earlier for, what time is it for Greg? It's 8. It's 8 now.
Well, we always say that the only way to learn anything is to come to the interview, you know, without pretending to be an expert. Just be a proxy for the people watching and ask questions that, like, an ignorant person would ask. Well, that's us today.
Boy, are we ignorant.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Chloe. Now, what makes it cool? Hey, Chloe. I think I saw my mom and dad come in. Dad, you're going to have to let me know what your Instagram account name is. I can't seem to find it, so I found a lot of other Steve Brogans who
maybe he doesn't want you following him on Instagram because he shares things that his son wouldn't approve of.
Oh, I tell you. You know what he does do, or what he used to do, is every time the Bellagio would change out their display of flowers and stuff like that, he would just 186 Bellagio photos in a row, and then silence for like a month or two.
But that's boy, nice.
I like them. Yeah, I like to see what the changes are. So our first guest today is now Greg Nareen, known as Gregarious, a serial entrepreneur, someone who has, for as long as I've known him, like, you could basically, he should write his business cards on a whiteboard, because he could just squeak off the name of a company every couple of minutes. I don't think Greg's been at the same company. I'm going to have to ask him, how many years in a row have you stayed at one place? But he just launched something kind of cool. And let me tell you, you know, when your friend launches something, you're like, good for you. And you like want to really support him. But what you really know is, I'm never going to go look at this thing because I'm just doing other stuff. And it may or may not be important. And Greg was like, yeah, you should check it out. I was like, yeah, I should. And that way, that means I'm so not going to check it out. Well, now we have to check it out because Greg.
Because he saved your bacon.
he fixed it. So now I got to be here for it. Gregarious, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm well. So this week. Hi, Hidden History with Ray. This week, Carol, you have launched Zealous, like just launched. So Zealous.app. And even like, I had such a hard time even grasping immediately what I'm supposed to do with Zealous. What do we do? Talk to me.
Yeah. So Zealous is basically a way for creators, you know, Instagrammers, Facebook livers, all those LinkedIn livers, all those kinds of people to monetize going live with their fans. So we give you a few things kind of automatically. We give you like this great homepage that like is oriented around like building a real-time show experience. So it tracks when you're going live. It lets you build a mailing list, all those other things. And then we also provide, you can either use Zealous with something like this, like right now, StreamYard, right? In conjunction or as a companion to your live experience. Or you can use it standalone. It's fully embedded and it has like, you know, Zoom-like capabilities for going live with audio and video to your fan base.
Is it like a replacement sort of for Twitch or like?
That's a great question. So today there's about 50 million creators, right? Who are like full or part-time. About a million of them are on Twitch and another million of them are on OnlyFans. So unless you're a gamer or you make adult content, there's a really big gap in the middle, and we're like, Zealous is designed really ultimately for those people in the middle, but it could be used on Twitch.
I make adult content on yours?
You can technically make any kind of content you like. I don't see the content that's being made. I don't watch all of it. Boil my eyeballs.
Well, good. Is it free? Is there a free plan?
It is getting right free to brass to tacks. Absolutely. So the way we make money is, when you sell like get tips or sell tickets to your events or sell subscriptions to access you, we take 10%, right? So we make money when you make money.
So just a process on top, like a lot of places do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nothing and that we're people wouldn't be used to.
Yeah, we're a lot cheaper actually, right? Because Twitch takes like 50%.
Ooh, I did not know that. Yeah. So I'm building my account right now. So if my face is making this weird face, that's really my account. I just did a I wanted to test out this guy on Fiverr to make a picture of me, and we did.
You got an avatar kind of thing.
He did, and it was so bad, and so I like it. So like I'm using it. It looks nothing like me. It has black hair and a black beard.
Does Carrie have plans we don't know about? Yes, I have a very lucrative side business that I just don't talk about. Save that for Backpack Show After Dark.
So I think I already have an account, it says here, so I can receive updates. And I can build new blocks. Like, it's that fast. Like, I just did it while we were talking. Do you want to do a little screen share? You want to show us just a tiny bit around it so we can,
see? I can absolutely do that. Yeah, I'll show you one that's a little more populated. Maybe that's just a little easier. Let's see.
Love it. This and we don't have to screen share.
So here you go. So this, I've shared it. Okay, cool. So this is my personal space. So on Zealous, you create a space for your fans and you to get together, collaborate, interact. And it has different blocks. So this is mine. Let me zoom in a little just so it's a little easier for everyone to see. So, you know, you can fill in your bio and all that fun stuff. And then you have these different blocks, building blocks that you can use to put together and talk about what you want. So, for example, like say this show, you know, Chris may put like links to all your stuff, or Carrie may put links to all your different things, all your different presences online, et cetera. And when you want to add a new block, you can just choose what kind of stuff you want to add into the page and add it. Right. Now, the important part, though, is this little block here about rooms, which is showing me all of the different room experiences. And so like I can add a room. And so, for example, if I had a Clubhouse link, I could take it, paste it in here, and it automatically goes and grabs the Clubhouse info and pre-populates it here. Right. You can add Zealous rooms, which are the ones I'll show you next. You can link in your Zoom, anything with the URL. You could literally put a tweet in here and then have a live experience around the tweet. Like, it doesn't really matter. You can just say, great, let's discuss this tweet. Throw the tweet link in there and then start to, and then build basically a live.
My tweets are so profound. I'm talking about my tweets.
So then this is the Zealous experience itself, right? So because this is a Zealous room, I'm going to go live. So it's a little inception-y here for a second. But when I go live, you'll see that on the right-hand side, everyone here can actually like come and ask questions. So I could be like, you know, now the big difference is that, you know, when we get questions here, what's going to happen? Like, normally we'd have to bring the comment on, but with Zealous, I can't do it to myself because I'm here, but I can actually invite this person right there from their question to come in and actually be on stage with me while we talk about it and answer that question.
Right? How do you pull them up? That's one curious question I have. Do you give them a link or something?
So when I click this answer button here, if it was you, say, Chris, you would get a ping on your screen that says like, hey, join Greg on stage to talk about this question, right?
Got it.
And so like now when I click that, you'll see how it set that question as the active question. What Zealous is actually doing is it's recording this whole session automatically. And we all would give you a video back automatically for every question, right? Mm-hmm. So literally that question becomes a little tiny piece of media that you could reshare later or build an FAQ with or whatever it may be. Because, you know, when you're interacting with your fans, your audience, a lot of times they have maybe similar questions. You don't want to answer it 20 times, or sometimes you just want to answer it again for people because they forget or whatever it may be. But you do get, you know, as a content creator, you also get automatically new media assets out of it. So here's what's powerful. If you're a creator, you can do an hour of AMA with your fans and actually reward them by being able to interact in person in real time. But you also then get out of it 10 new video clips that could become shorts on YouTube, stories on Instagram, you know, posts on TikTok, whatever you want. You can literally take all of them and use them over. But here's the cool part. Not only are you getting that media, you're getting to amplify your actual fans, right? So you're putting them on stage, you're sharing them out to the rest of your world. And that's what I think is really powerful, is closing the loop so that your fans are actually part of the conversation. You know, what I was saying to Chris is you go live with your fans, not to them, right? So we're not
really enjoying this like three screen experience of Gregarious that we're having.
Especially when you look backstage, we see something backstage that you don't. So we see a lot of you.
Yeah. Here, I'll send a link. You can see. So if someone goes over there, I put it in the private chat if you want to try it. It won't kill your computer, I promise.
All right, let's see.
Don't do it.
Oh, I'm so tempted.
And so what will happen is whoever decides to join it, because I'm not shared this anywhere else except for...
I'm going to do it. I want to do it right in our comments.
Go for it. All
right. Do it. You go. Hey, if we break the Backpack Show this morning, you'll know why.
This is what happens when you do things in real time.
Real time and live.
All right, so here, I don't know who Janice is.
Janice Person, our other guest.
Oh, Janice, our other guest. That's right. That's why she's in the back.
You might remember her from such times as moments ago. So in
Janice,
the
can you ask a question real quick over here? And I'm just going to show you guys what happens when Janice goes,
So we put it in chat by mistake?
Oh, no, I put it in the private chat.
I didn't do it by mistake. I put it everywhere on purpose.
Oh, that's totally fine. All right, here we go. So now I'm going to ping Janice to come and join me in Zealous, right? Mm-hmm. And now you probably won't hear Janice unless you shared my screen with audio, but literally the audio and everything's coming out of Zealous. So here, now Janice is in Zealous with me, right? And we're talking about her question, right? And over there, now we're also in StreamYard at the same time.
Oh my gosh, it's like Showception. Showception. That's pretty impressive.
Cool. There you go. Yeah, all you right. Might not be able to hear Janice, but you get the idea now, right? So Janice cool. is here, and anyone from the audience at any time, you can think I'm going to come up on stage with you.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, I'm booting this view. that's impressive. Aww. And a lot.
We'll hear from Janice. Janice can speak.
And I'm ending
we'll
my room.
Yeah, so. Janice is our guest right after.
Yeah.
Very cool. So the it's free to start, and you only get money if people are monetizing. You pick 10% off of whatever they do. So it's incentivized that if a lot of people are doing something well, and if you're promoting them, then everybody gets to love. You just launched this like yesterday, I think.
Yeah, yesterday okay. was the first day we were out, and it was a great reception. You know, we've been working on this for a long time. And by the way, so you had a question, how long? My last company shoot, I was there for 7 years. So, you know, we raised through Series B. So it was a long
You're so polite
ride.
While you contradict. You're like, I was two places for a while.
We've actually been, I've been trying to figure out how to do Zealous for 3 years now. It's been one permutation or another, but we finally landed that this was the right place to start for our audience.
Now, Chloe had two questions. She just made a comment here saying, I love how interactive it is. It seems like everything's in one place. She asked another question. Do you think this is going to replace someone's primary web page? My guess is you're going to say no, but
I hope not. We don't have the intention of being like a full like CMS and publishing suite or anything like that. What we do believe though, is that live is a great opportunity for everyone involved. Right. And so much like you do this show live, it's for a reason. Right. And we think that today creators have like a pretty well-worn business model around static content, right? Like if you make YouTube videos or you post on Instagram or whatever, like you can monetize that, right? The problem is that live delivers way more, right? It's way more interactive. It feels more authentic. I don't know if you know this stat, Chris and Carrie, but 1 in 5 Facebook videos is a live video now. Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal, right? And so what we think is that like as a content creator, time is the biggest resource that you have, or the smallest, most scarce resource that you have. And so being able to do that one-to-one to everyone thing is really way more powerful, right? Than just say pushing out a piece of content, right? Because there's this sort of inflection point, right? Like if you want to go full-time, say doing content creation, if you start a Patreon or something like that and you get a few donations, while you've got like 5 people, 10 people subscribed, that's just time out of creating content for your public universe that like can attract brands, it can attract other kinds of deals for you, right? And so you're sort of fighting or stumbling with like, wait, should I do more for the private patrons who are not paying me a ton of money? Or should I be doing stuff that gets me more brand access, more sponsorship, et cetera? With Zealous, we're replacing the live part and saying, well, hey, don't make custom content, just go live because it's easy. You can do it from anywhere. Your fans are going to enjoy it a lot more, right? And it's just as monetizable and useful for people, for you as any kind of resource, because you can hit everybody instead of just that small group of people.
I feel like you're very used to talking about this.
You know, you would think I've been doing this a long time, but this is like probably the third time I've talked about it.
Wow.
It really is. It really is. And even before we were backstage, I'm like, you got to school me up on this, buddy, because I don't know much about this project. As he did, you could tell it was new times. But himself, Gregarious, has done presentations like this since what? Like 2000?
Long time,
before.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. We're about to go fundraise. And so I have been preparing lots of this data to sort of like be able to help make the case and help people understand why it matters and where it fits in the world. So that may be why I have some of this on tap.
It's good stuff, and it's good times to you know, kick it around with us a little bit. You know, and I know you've got somewhere to go. I know you had another meeting, and you jumped right in for this. So we may be saying goodbye to you, but thank you so much. We can swing by zealous.app. We can find you all over the socials. Thanks for coming and saying hi today.
Yeah, and it's free. Go sign up now. It's available for you.
Free. Claim your space at least.
Claim your space. That's exactly the way.
Zealous.app. Come get some. Gregarious, thank you.
Can you do it for me? I'm busy.
All right, I'll do it for you. I just claim mine. You can look for a weird looking terrorist looking guy. That's me. All right. See you. Bye, Gregarious. Boop.
Oh, you booped him while he was talking.
Middle That's of the sentence. Nice.
That's not nice.
I'm the worst. He just left so fast. I'm the worst. Okay. Hey, ads. I'm going to start with my favorite ad first. We're going to go with Len Joy. American Pastime. This book is on sale. And if you buy it this week, this is the week to buy it. Because I'll tell you why. For nothing other than you're doing Len Joy a favor right now by doing so. When you read the book, you'll have done yourself a favor. But if you buy this book this week, it's got to make the charts go nuts. cbrogan.me/Len Joy. Len Joy.
You know what? He writes a good book. He can. He spins a good yarn. Go check it out.
Spins a good yarn. Leslie's doing training today, or she would be here to tell you that she's already reading this one and she loves it. So I'll give her that. Let's see. Hey, StreamYard, if you are looking to stream to a lot of places and make your own show like this show and get guests at the last minute, look, it's a duck. cbrogan.me/StreamYard. We should have put chickens or pigs on or something.
Look how easy it is to show comments and things. It's so easy.
You can do it. There's Paul. So we can just say that right whenever we want. Hey.
Yeah.
So StreamYard, if you want a cool URL, because if you notice, Greg's was zealous.app. Gregory.us. He's an alternative Gregario. URL guy.
.us. Yeah.
Yeah, Gregario.us. Yeah. He probably has a dot online. So go to
cbrogan.me. I have Carrie.show.
You do have Carrie.show. Go to cbrogan.me/online and you can get one for because 99.
Carrie.online was taken and I was like, forget you. But 99 cents?
That's 99 crazy. Cents. Mm-hmm. Use the code Chris. Hey, Castos, you can get some. It's a podcast hosting site. I like it. I use it for my site. It's for people who think I'm unattractive. They can just listen to me. It's just fun. Pub site, if you're an author, maybe when Janice writes her book, When the Cows Come Home. Oh, pub-site.com. So you can post it up on this site because it's a great site to get your own website made for authors.
She can write a romance about cotton. Just JP That's loves great. Cotton.
She does love cotton. She's That's what people faces, say about her.
Making faces we're, backstage because
we're
we know
grabbing you here. Right now. You know this. All right. Janice, welcome to the show. Thank you for saying yes at the last minute.
I love it. Anything for Carrie, right?
Thank you.
So nice.
I've known Janice for a long time. Now, where did we first meet? Was it South by Southwest? Or
I think in person, it was a blog chat online, right?
Mm-hmm. And we purposely like met up later. That's how you know I actually like you. When you were in Orlando. Otherwise, I'd be like, oh, I would so love to see you, but I can't.
Yeah. I was there for a blogging conference and you came out. I remember now. That's great.
Mm-hmm. How fun is that? So amongst other things, you run Grounded by the Farm, which goes with your grounded communication. So we get to learn about things like cheese a day or growing corn.
Oh, my God.
Potatoes.
I mean, that guy actually tried a different cheese every day. He's actually a sheep farmer in the UK. But yeah, you know, Chris, you and I met through 140 conference.
That's right.
We had a group of ag nerds that would go to that with Jeff Pulver and like talk
agriculture
about
nerds.
Agricultural nerds. Yes.
You're so nerdy. You have like a nerd term for yourself.
Yeah. So that's how I met you guys. And I was working for a big company. Now I'm out on my own doing sort of whatever I want to. And I've always been a city girl, but I love agriculture. And so it's this weird mashup of city and farm that kind of gets me to create content, do content strategy for others, whatever, you know, communications person.
But you were always very, very, yes, it is. You were always very interested in getting down on the farm and like meeting the farmers and stuff. So
I love it.
Yeah, but like during the pandemic, that's got to be tough. Or do you go down there and like stand on the other side of the fence and wait?
So, like so doing? Many other things, I've done most of them virtually. I've had a few that I've been able to go visit that are here like in the St. Louis area and things. It is very odd to go visit farmers and stay outside and stay 6 foot because while they work outside, all the time, it seems. They love to have you in the house for lunch and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm asthmatic, so I've been pretty high risk. So I've been pretty careful this year. So it's part of why I did a second season just to go to international farms. Like, if I'm not going to travel to farms, let's go big. And so I just interviewed a farmer from Germany. This site that he's showing now is Grounded and Rising. That's really geared towards farmers and other people who are trying to sell to consumers, but maybe don't have all day conversations with them, right? Like, they don't live in cities. You know, some farmers are lucky they're in the suburbs and things like that, but others, you know, maybe they've never had a chance to go to South by Southwest. I get to be kind of a guide, and we've got this community going, and a bunch of us are doing the future of food today and things like that at South by Southwest. So we'll be able to do that virtually. So I'm doing quite a few things. I'm not going to get bored now that I have my own company. I can play in a few sandboxes and I'm going to do it. But agriculture and kind of connecting people like me who didn't know how our food was grown when we were kids. I really love learning about it. And so do my nieces and nephews and stuff. So that's what the podcast is about, is kind of letting other people get that experience of me going out and asking farmers the stupid questions, which you guys enjoy doing here on your show. So
hey, we're doing our best.
No, I'm, you know what I mean. The less informed conversations.
I do. Yes. You're very helpful for the uninformed.
But yeah, I love it. And, you know, once you get in agriculture, I've met farmers and been able to tour farms, you know, like everywhere. It's amazing. I've had these road trips where you like parachute into Oregon and you take a car and you just drive, and every day you visit different farms. And, you know, Todd teaches me how he grows sweet potatoes and talks to me about how best to cook them. Like, if you work growing sweet potatoes all day, every day, I think he's tried every recipe, right? But to him, what you do is you slice them up long ways thin, put them with some butter in a cast iron skillet. It's the best damn sweet potato you will ever have. And
I saw a headline that went by really quick saying something about it's not your stereotypical cranberry farmer. And I was like, what? What even is like a stereotypical cranberry farmer?
Well, like, you know, the kind in the bug.
What kind of broad generalizations do we make about cranberry farmers?
So they're Amber, sour. she's a cranberry, Amber, the cranberry farmer. So she actually spells her name out sometimes. But yeah, so really cute blonde girl out there working the cranberry bogs. So
in Wisconsin, that's heresy. We have cranberries in Massachusetts. She doesn't have cranberries. That's fake.
They are real cranberries.
Are you sure that they're real
cranberries versus?
Have you touched those cranberries?
No. Not the ones in that photo. I did not. But I have eaten more than my fair share of cranberries for motion spray or drank them right in a drink. So,
but where did your interest in agriculture originate? Because some people don't know how JP came to love cotton. Like,
yeah. So I was, you know, like I was one of those communication students that was growing up and I wanted to change the world. I wanted to do good things. And a friend of our family happened to have agricultural magazines. I have no idea how he got into it, other than in Memphis, there weren't huge numbers of options. He also ran like Memphis Home and Garden. So he had a lot of different magazines, but he gave me an internship. I love the planet. And the first interview I went out, this man taught me more about soil than I could have ever learned in any book or any class. I was hooked. From then on, these people are doing amazing things with the environment. And I love food. So, you know, I was stuck. I just had to be there.
I love dirt.
I do. Dirt.
And but it's not JP loves dirt. It's JP loves cotton.
I do love dirt. But, you know, I'm wearing cotton clothes, so...
Not your dirt clothes today. There is something very people don't understand. So I didn't know a whole lot about the agriculture world at all. But John Blue from Truffle Media, who from Around, of course.
Oh, of course.
John brought me in and he let me say all my dumb questions, which is great because, you know, I always get something wrong. Like, he introduced me to this guy, and the guy had given his fiance a cow as a wedding gift.
And yeah,
Like I said, oh, so like that guy likes to sleep on the couch, right? And he said, no, imagine he gave her a gift that spits out like a Hyundai worth of value every time it throws a kid out. You know, it's like every baby is like another 20,000 bucks in that girl's bank. And I was like, oh, he gave her like a revenue stream. And he goes, yes. Like, oh, because I'm just thinking cow, like they're big, they eat a lot. So there's the big giant monsters. There's the Monsantos and the whatever. And then there's the medium-ish ones, which sounds like who you talk to. And then there's a lot of sort of back to the land people.
Oh, are I talk to them too.
That I was going to ask you, is it sort of medium and down for you or is it everybody?
So I have worked in the big stuff as well as the medium stuff and the small. And everywhere I go, I find really great people. So I think it's easy to stereotype the real big people. It's easy to learn nuggets. And I think in today's world, we all learn about misinformation more than maybe we learned about it 20 years ago. But in agriculture, it's so easy to be misunderstood because people don't know much about ag. So I found it works out pretty well. But really, for these guys, they're so awesome. But I've talked to like an urban farmer, Natasha Nichols in Chicago, who's amazing. The man that I talked to here was in his 80s, and his family's been farming since the 1850s. Happens to be a Black man whose family was farming before Lincoln was president. You know, I mean, like, you can't get more salt of the earth than a guy like that, right?
Hey, so like, what anniversary is the cow anniversary? I know there's like linen and wood, and you work your way up to like the good stuff like silver.
I don't know what the cow anniversary is, but I've had a few friends who've gotten cows for presents. I got to name my first cow. It was a bull, actually, and he was solid black. So I'm from Memphis. I named him a bull named Sue. Hey,
nice.
Little like Johnny Cash.
Black himself, yep.
Yep, little Johnny Cash. This is our chicken turkey farmer from Minnesota, John Peterson. He was on, I did a series of shows all around holiday food. So cranberries, turkeys, corn. My family, we love tamales at Christmas, and corn is a big piece of that. And there's a small farmer up in Iowa who makes his own masa and polenta. And so he was explaining all these different varieties of corn he grows. So it's a lot of fun for me, at least. And Carrie, I do know farmers in your area. So next time I get to Nashville, we're going to go down to Murfreesboro. One of the guys that was on our show grows barley for Tennessee Brew Works. I don't know if you've ever been to that, that location. Mm-mm. But he grows barley for them. But he also has some chorizo that's like, oh, my God, it's good.
Mm. See, I love that you're going to take me there because you know me well enough to know I don't have any wellies. I'm not going to, like, go out in the mud.
Oh, no.
Well, touch dirty stuff. Like,
but Janice answers the question, are pig farms dirty and smelly? You know, she gets to the important questions. See how clean those pigs are? Super clean.
Yeah, but, you know, they still poop. Come on.
They do poop.
Trying to sell me that bill of goods.
Bob says, "You sure?" Mr. Collins is saying,
"Sure, you didn't shoot that cranberry video in Massachusetts."
I love that he's like at the Pentagon in that picture in the background.
Oh,
like,
Bob,
he's so serious, right?
He's very important.
Giving a White House press.
I have one like that in the White House press room, you know, and I'm going to use that puppy as long as I can. By God,
good answer. Right. Okay. You know, so I've been joking about the food war between there's no way that there could be cranberries in Wisconsin. Everyone knows that. But I was born in Maine, right? So Maine potatoes were the only potatoes. You know whose potatoes aren't so good? Maine. Sorry, relatives.
But their blueberries are so good. Come on.
Yeah, Maine has great blueberries.
Maple syrup?
Lobster capital of the world. Maple syrup, I'll fight with Vermont. I'm willing to let Vermont win that one. But we were required to eat Presque Isle potatoes, Aroostook County potatoes. That was my grandfather's lands, you know, my mom's dad. Have you gotten involved in that at all? Have you gotten involved in like territorial farm wars or anything that you didn't even know about?
You know, that's so funny because I was talking to a guy the other day who's going to be on the show, and he's a British flower farmer. I met him through Clubhouse, and he's like, but really local flowers are the best. And I think there's a lot of reason for liking local. It's not always the best quality, as you just pointed out there. There's some great things in our communities that you get to support by doing that. But I think there's also a balance, because I like chickpeas, and you're not going to grow any damn chickpeas in this part of the world, or bananas or whatever it is. So I kind of like both. And most farmers are pretty reasonable. Like they don't think like, by God, you only eat mine, unless they're doing it in a joking kind of way, usually. She actually well represented the cranberries in the Northeast. I think Wisconsin has a larger scale because the way the land is able to be bogged, larger expanses of land is what.
Well, Janice is pointing out that you can configure Wisconsin to manage bog scenario really well. We just use the bogs that are laying around.
We have. Yeah.
Right. So that's it, but fair, you know, bug. That makes sense. Just like the fact that farmed salmon is, 90 something percent of the salmon you're going to eat is farmed now.
Yeah.
It's kind of how that goes. Actually, now that I just said that out loud, I don't think I saw a whole lot of aquaculture on your site. Are you skipping
that? Oh, there's
that?
Crawfish on there, man. Go the crawfish episode, because this is like New Orleans season, right? Like, we just did Mardi Gras and stuff. So that's when I was able to go down and visit the guys and eat some crawfish for. It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
What about the business of farming though, Janice? Because that gets harder and harder.
Yeah, no, farming as a business is a pretty tough one. Part of that is because you rely so much on nature and markets that you don't necessarily have control of prices of. So farmers are the only people who buy retail and sell wholesale, is what they say. And part of that is that kind of chain. But the dependence on markets that you don't get to set your own price for some of the time, and weather. So even if you're like a local, one of my friends here in St. Louis, there's a guy named Tomato Tony, obviously. He grows. What does he grow? Do you know? Can you figure it out?
Beer.
Yes. He grows a lot of different vegetables, but
plantains.
He's known for his tomatoes. And, but he's here and he's still very much reliant on the markets. And last year, suddenly there were no restaurants buying anything anymore. And so luckily he was able to refigure things and ultimately be able to deliver to the front door of people like me who wanted fresh produce at home. And he's always sold through farmers market some, but all of a sudden his markets just went away. And last year, I think a lot of people, at least in the produce side of the business, had that. I have friends that ended up burying tons of onions because they had tons of onions that should have been going to restaurants. And, it was a tough one. And people like you and me were going to the grocery store and not able to get onions, which was also not
great. Burying, like you said, because they got to put them back, to keep them ready for next time. By the way, I clicked on growing sugar because I had that weird disconnect like we all do. What? Sugar? Yeah, beets. Sugar beet. Get it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she was a sugar beet farmer. And God, she makes the coolest cookies. Carrie would like it. She made some that were with spiders on it.
Spiders.
All right. See, why they gotta have spiders on them?
But for Christmas, she did a whole series of cookies all around the movie Christmas Vacation.
I would have to close my eyes to eat those, Janice. Come on.
But she did the whole series of Christmas Vacation. You would have liked that for Christmas. She did 10 different cookies.
Yep. She from had the squirrels movie. And everything.
I'm not saying I wouldn't eat the other ones. I'm just saying I'd have to not look at them.
I love it.
Completing more Christmas vacations. So there's the jelly.
Oh, the jelly of the month clubs.
That's right. And the swimsuit with the palm tree on it.
Oh my God. Even before the pandemic, farming was such a tough business, especially with all the bioengineered seeds and the struggle that goes on with them being transferred by the wind and blah, 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 blah. Where's farming going? What's going to happen? How are we going to keep people growing food when they're so kind of little in it for them? It's just so hard.
Well, so farmers basically need to make a living, right? All people, if you're going to have a job, unless you have an amazing amount of wealth somewhere. And most of them want to keep their farms in their family. So unlike my family, where my father was a printing pressman, my idea was not to be somebody who ran a printing press. And but I get to write words that might be printed on a press someday. I'm going to work on that book thing that Chris was pointing out, because I've got the ideas there. But I think a lot of them look at various ways. they're like us. A lot of them have side hustles. Sometimes it's a trucking business. Sometimes it's an equipment business. Sometimes they're selling some of their stuff here locally and some of it in the bigger markets. Most farmers are pretty darn independent. Bob, thank you very much. I was told when I started my podcast and I told friends I hadn't edited it yet. They told me I couldn't edit out my laugh. So thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. But yeah, I think, you know, farmers are having a tough time, but right now everybody's having a tough time. And some farmers actually did very well last year. So you never know when it's, you know, hit or miss. The bioengineered seeds is something that I actually know a lot about. I actually have family that farm organically, but I actually have lots of good friends that do the biotech or bioengineered stuff. And I think they can all work together pretty well as long as farmers keep talking to each other. That's where it's most important. I also think it's easy to misunderstand some of that because you see like headlines and you don't get to get to all the depth of information. Farmers know way, way more about that kind of science and stuff than most of us do.
I don't even mean I have a problem with bioengineered food. I'm more like, let's say you want to farm organically and the next farm over wants to farm with bioengineered stuff. And, you know, the wind takes seed stuff. Like it sometimes it does. And that ends up in your organic. And next thing you know, you got a big company saying, hey, you're using our patented stuff. Pay us some money. Like, how's that going to work for a small farmer?
It's so the few times when companies have gone and sued farmers have not necessarily been exactly like that. So it's portrayed that way in documentaries, but usually it's that farmers nearby said, I think that guy stole some seed from my farm and is now planting it on his and things like
so
that.
They don't want to buy it.
But I do say that it's really important for farmers to talk to their neighbors. So I have family that farm organically and they talk really closely to their neighboring farms about where they're going to plant corn versus where others are planting corn. And usually other farmers will go, you know what, I'm going to put soybeans over there so you don't have any of those problems with pollen so close. And when farmers can do that, everything works out, right? It's when you have those neighbors that aren't necessarily good friends, right? And it gets more tangled up. But I know a lot of folks that grow both and have done it very successfully. So there's a guy on Twitter called Ag Leader in California. He grows both. He also grows a lot of the pollinator flowers that everybody wants to plant to bring back the monarchs. And it's really the rules of how you plant your crops and when you're going to know things are pollinated and getting that conversation going is so important in the ag community. I think we're realizing it's more important to have that sense of community in the rest of our worlds, whereas maybe we didn't talk to our neighbors so much a year ago. Suddenly we started getting everybody in our neighborhood that walks by. You at least
I'd be screwed, Janice. Screwed. I'm from Boston. I do not want to talk to my neighbors.
Nobody.
I've been here for 4 years. My mom's like, oh, what are your neighbors like? I'm like, I don't know. They don't wear masks, I can tell you that much.
Oh, then yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting near the end of the show, and Janice, this has been super great. I have to do a couple more things. One is this. Get that Lenjoy book, okay? cbrogan.me/Lenjoy, capital L, capital J.
Somebody else said, link. So good. So good.
Get it. You can read American Pastime while you eat your delicious Massachusetts cranberries.
Maine potatoes.
You think about your stinky Maine potatoes. But that's it. We have to do a person of the day, so let me find that.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Gosh, I would have a tough time figuring out who, but I'd have to go with Bob Collins because he loved Janice's laugh.
Oh.
And he had a lot to say. So it's our man, Bob Collins. We have come to the end of the show, which means we've come to the part where we ask you the question, what goes in your backpack? It could be something physical, like a corn stalk. It could be something metaphorical, like future food supplies, but it's whatever you want to make it. Carrie, what's a great physical one for people to think about?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. We all need them.
That was DJ Cumberbund. He's a remix, like, mashup artist on YouTube. And he dresses like Macho Man Randy Savage. And he's like, extra set of teeth. And we're like, huh? Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
He was so funny. So I love that one.
Carrie, what's a good metaphorical one we can add?
Fearlessness and vulnerability.
Oh, those are beautiful.
I know technically it's two, but like together, it's so, so good.
It forms Voltron.
Janice, yeah, person, that's what it is.
What should we add to the backpack for you?
You know what? I'm going to get like sufficient good food because these days I would love to be able to hand that out. You know, I've really been looking at some of those issues and feeding Americans, and places like that have been doing great stuff. But I keep seeing way too many people right now that are hungry. So if I can do sufficient good food, that way other people, we can choose different times.
Organic apple, says Bob. Now, listen, you know I don't share food, Janice, because we've gone out to eat together. It'd be like, oh, hey, do you want to try some of my stuff? And I'm like, no, and you're not getting any of mine. So
it was keep okay.
Your hands off.
But I think we met like a minion or something, because we were at like a park, right? Like I was in Orlando at a park for a blogger conference, and there were like minions and stuff walking around. So yeah.
Well, I've been told that those are good eating.
They're a little gamey.
Everything tastes like chicken, though, right?
Eventually. That is very true.
Well, you cook it with some main potatoes.
Yeah, who would know? One thing about growing and having delicious potatoes and things like that is that if you've got someone great who can cook them, everything goes so much better. And boy, did my Grammy love to cook stuff up. But I'll tell you the one thing that she would never buy if it was raised in New England.